Galleries Arts Festival and take in a performance at our theater featuring a full season of dramas, comedies, and musicals. The Guild's Gift Shop showcases unique art from over 100 local and regional member artists. Come enjoy music from the Cannon Valley Regional Orchestra or the 411 Concert Series. We invite you to explore your creativity in one of our classes. All are welcome at the Northfield Arts Guild. To learn how you can be a part, visit northfieldartsguild.org or call 507-645-8877.
Art Zany, radio for the imagination, with your host Paula Granquist, is brought to you by the Northfield Arts Guild and by the Paradise Center for the Arts. And now, Art Zany, radio for the imagination.
Good morning, this is Paula Granquist, and you're listening to Art Zany, radio for the imagination. It's another zany morning here on the show. I thank you so much for being a part of the show, for listening to us as we celebrate creating and stories. So let's go ahead and tune our imaginations together here as we get set up. It's going to be a great show, I can already tell. So do you feel like it? It's the holidays now. And I really hope that you are able to spend some time connecting with family and friends and enjoying some of your favorite festive fall foods. I wrote that and I said, that's cool. There's four F's in there. I liked it. And I hope that you're also dreaming ahead of the days that might be possible, that there are things that maybe you weren't able to do this year that you hope to be able to do for the next holiday or for the next year. So we in our family had a little bit of a traditional Thanksgiving. It was the, you know, traditional event with family, turkey, and all the fixings. There was a puzzle to do, movies. Of course, there were lots of dishes. They just never seemed to end. And some great conversations. I absolutely think that it's this sharing of memories and taking the time to get updated on everyone's worlds that I appreciate the most. It's really hard to do that with the family in a go-go world. You know, I think one of the things that's changed is we all have cell phones. So when you call a house, you call a person, you don't call the house. And so sometimes it was random who picked up the phone. So then you'd get to talk to your nephew or you'd get to talk to your cousin. But now you directly call each person. And I think that changes things a little bit. And we should definitely gather more often, but maybe not with a giant meal. It kind of seems to put everybody to sleep early in the night. But you know, when we were talking and my mom asked me about this week's radio show, first I have to give a shout out to Mom, who is my number one fan out there on Art Zany Radio. Thank you, Mom, for listening every single week. I told her that we were featuring a classic holiday show, and she told me, now this is unbelievable to me, that my dad had been in a high school production, and she thought it was this show that we're going to feature today. And I was absolutely blown away. Most of you didn't get a chance to know my dad, but that does not, he was a computer scientist. He was an engineer. He was, a great, gregarious person, but I never imagined him being up on the stage. So my mom dug out his yearbook saying, I'm going to prove to you that he was in this show. We'd never heard these stories before. And it did say he was in the science club. And we all went, yeah, we surely believe that one. But interestingly, the reference in the yearbook did mention that he was in a play, but the page number was not coordinated with what was in the index. So there's no photographic evidence or no notation that he was in the play. So we're still trying to figure out if that was actually true. So it was kind of fun, though, to spend. And we looked at what was happening in the 1950s when he graduated from high school. And it was just so much fun to take back and think about those memories and, you know, get that wonderful surprise. So I think if we take time for conversations, there are going to be new connections, new ideas, and new information. And being open to those surprises that come to you is part of what's really important in all of us helping each other make it through this world. So I think it's the sweetest part of life. So take some time to connect, allow those joys to unfold, and those new facets of family and friends to reveal fresh perspectives on who we are and what we share. So imagine the possibilities. Folks, I've been telling you about the show, and I'm so excited to be able to talk about this production. It is a show by the Purple Door Youth Theater, and it's A Wonderful Life. I'm going to turn on the mics. We're going to welcome. We got a crowd here. We also have, I'm going to hold off. May is out there listening, so we're going to invite her in just a second. But first, I want to go ahead and say that this production is an adapted for radio on stage play, which is exactly why I wanted to do it here on Artsany Radio. It's really perfect. So let's welcome our guests to the show. We'll start with Rachel and have you introduce yourself. Tell us a little bit about you and maybe a little about the Purple Door Youth Theater, too.
Sure. Thank you so much for having us this morning. I'm Rachel Heider, and I, along with Joe Jorgensen, started Purple Door Youth Theater in 2015. This will be our 12th production in just those short years. And the whole theory behind Purple Door was to get kids involved in the entire theater process and to really help educate them in the process along the way, so that it's there's definitely value in simply being in a show, but also getting the vocabulary that's needed and understanding that there are so many parts to a show and that the team is really what it's all about. And you know, we always say we're all in this together, and that's it's a big part of being in the theater. So other than that, I direct adult shows as well here and in Faribault. I'll be doing a few shows coming up in Faribault, and did one this last summer. And I thrive on theater, and I just want to share my love of theater with everyone else so that they can love it as much as I do.
Yeah, and I mean, I think it is an amazing piece of the experience for especially for kids who can then figure out, you know, I might not be the one who wants to be on stage, but there's a role for me if I want to paint, you know, backdrops or do lights or you know, help with props. Or I mean, there's a million different avenues for any interest.
You
so
bet.
I think it's been a great addition to our community. We have a great vibrant theater community here. So thank you for coming down. I know you've had a busy weekend, and I sure appreciate you being here.
Well, thank you so
Although
much.
It's not even the weekend yet, is it? It's one of those time warps that happens with the holidays. Let's jump in and let's hear from Nathan about who you are, a little bit about yourself, where you go to school, and maybe some theater experiences that you've had.
I'm Nathan Wolf. I'm a student in Northfield. I'm in 11th grade. And I'm on the technician crew for It's a Wonderful Life. I've done tech for a few other shows at Purple Door. It's been a great experience. I've done a few theater productions as well at my own school at Arcadia, but not too much. I've done mostly technician work. And then aside from that, I enjoy things like music and photography. I enjoy those. I do those in my free time. And yeah, that's...
Well, I'm delighted to have you here. Thank you. I think this might be your first time on Artsany Radio, right?
It is, yes, it
so
is.
So it's a thrill to have you here. Thank you for being here.
It's nice to be here.
And let's hear from Maggie. Go ahead and let's tip that down a little bit. Yeah.
I'm Maggie Muth. I'm a junior at Northfield High School. I'm playing Mary Hatch in the show. And this is just one of the Purple Door shows that I've been in. And I'm really excited to do another one. I've done tech for a couple shows. I've acted in a couple other ones. In my free time, I really like to read and write, and I play the cello too at school. It's really fun.
Oh, wonderful! And you've been in other theater productions, yes?
Yeah, I just finished doing tech for the high school musical, The Mystery of Edwin Drood.
I saw that. A fantastic show! My goodness, what a great cast and beautiful music! Yeah. And which part of the tech did you do?
I was calling cues for it.
Oh, so is that backstage?
Yeah.
Okay, and so you're trying to make sure you're like traffic. Director?
More traffic director for the other techies.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fabulous. There's another part of the show I didn't even, when I think of all the things that have to go on, that was one I hadn't thought of.
Yeah.
So, Congratulations.
Thank you.
And let's welcome May into the show. We're going to cross our fingers when I press this button that May is there. Good morning, May. Are you there?
Hello. Yes, I'm here.
Oh, good. Let's make sure you're real close because you sound a little far away. So.
Oh, can you hear me better now?
A little bit. If there's a way to get your mic.
Is that better?
That is much better. Perfect. So tell us about yourself, May, and your connections to theater and some of the things that you like to do and your school experience as well.
Well, I go to the Northfield Middle School. I'm in seventh grade. I think this is my fifth Purple Door show.
Five shows.
I play the role in this show of the announcer and Uncle Billy. And, I also play the cello. Maggie, I didn't know that you played the cello as well.
Well, isn't that a great connection? See, we're opening ourselves up to surprises.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for being here. I one thing I wanted to ask everybody is I will admit that I had not seen the show It's a Wonderful Life, the movie, until just this week. It's not a tradition my family grew up with, and of course I was very aware of the film because a lot of people, but I was so surprised how much I enjoyed it and how I found it to be a show that has relevance today too. So I wonder let's start with Maggie. Had you seen the show, and just thinking about the production, was this important to you to be a part of the show because you love the movie, or any traditions your family has around seeing It's a Wonderful Life?
Yeah, I have seen the movie. I saw it a very long time ago when I was really little. But my parents are kind of sticklers for just making sure I get introduced to all of their favorite films. and we have this tradition around Christmas time that every year on Christmas Eve, we all sit down as a family and watch a Christmas-themed movie. And so one of the years it was It's a Wonderful Life, and I really liked the movie. I was kind of mad it wasn't black and white, but
they can change that now, can't they?
Yeah, they could. But I think this year again, we're probably going to watch it on Christmas Eve.
Of course, especially since you're in the production. How about let's jump over to May and hear from her. Had you seen the movie before? And what's your connection to the story of It's a Wonderful Life?
Well, yeah, I actually just watched part of this movie yesterday for the first time.
Ah!
And yeah, so it's kind of striking how similar it is to our play. And it, of course, the play does leave out some of the little details because it's not going to be quite as long, but it's very, very similar, and I recognize a lot of things, and I would say, like, oh, I know what's about to happen next, and, you know, things like that. So, yeah, I just watched it for the first time yesterday.
I think that's interesting. You know, it was produced, I think I looked it up, 1946, which is a whole heck of a long time ago. Nathan, had you seen the film? It was just that part of the reason you wanted to be a part of the show?
I have still never seen It's a Wonderful Life.
Oh, okay.
I know for sure that my family will try and set up a time for all of us to watch it together, after the show at least. But I haven't seen it yet. I thought it would be a fun experience to do tech on a radio show, though.
And so I think that's one of the things that maybe seeing it from that perspective of it being new is also a really good way. Rachel, what have you found with the kids in the show with their familiarity? Well, when you said this is what we're doing, what was the response?
actually, there's one young man in the show who said that their family watches it every year that he can remember. He's in middle school. And that was what drove him to come to the auditions. Because he was just so enthralled with the story, and it was such an important part of his life. But this is actually the 75th anniversary of the film.
Oh, I didn't think, yeah.
And when it first came out, it was extremely successful as far as it was nominated for 5 Academy Awards. It was critically very important, but it didn't get a great box office release because of they released it like it was just a few days before Christmas, and there just wasn't enough time for it to really
to blossom. Ramp up. Yeah.
Right. However, from there it got radio or television play, and basically has been on television every single year since.
Yeah, 75 years. Think about that.
Right. Right. So it is hugely popular, and there is actually a colorized version of it now. So
now we know.
And it has been named on top 10 lists of best movies ever many, many times. It's Frank Capra, for goodness sakes.
Mm-hmm.
And has, yeah, it's just had this great following, and maybe not for everyone, but if you think about 75-year span, that's a lot of generations that have grown up with this film. And what's interesting about it is it's not your typical Christmas movie.
Maybe that's where we should go next, because there may be members of our audience, too, who are like, I've heard of this, but I'm not really sure what this is. So maybe I'll have one of the kids jump in, Maggie or Nathan, who wants to tell us what is the base? What's this story all about? Why are people so, watch this over and over? What do you think?
The story follows George Bailey, who is a person who lives in Bedford Falls, New York. And his goal in life is just to get out of his town and see the world and go on all these exotic adventures. But one thing after another just keeps piling up, and he's stuck in his hometown working at his father's company, the Bailey Building and Loan. And it just gets to the point where, like, he can't escape. And there are some good things in his life, but he gets to the point where he just doesn't really want to live his life anymore. And so this angel named Clarence has to come down and convince George that his life is actually worth living, and that he has helped so many people in his life that his life has actually been worth living. And then, like, it happens right before Christmas, and that's the part of it that is the Christmas show. And it's just a really, like, heartfelt movie. I don't know what else to say.
No, I think that's a really good setup. Yeah, I think that's exactly what it is.
What's really interesting about it is that it actually, and I didn't really realize this until I started to delve into the script, but in the end, it is essentially the same story as The Christmas Carol. Which,
oh,
if you think about the story of The Christmas Carol, the Charles Dickens, it isn't really super Christmassy either, which is why when you go to a production of it, they always play up the big Fezziwig party much, much bigger than it is in the book, in the original book of The Christmas Carol, because they're trying to put some Christmas into it.
That makes sense.
In the end, both main characters come upon a supernatural being, so a ghost, mm-hmm. or in this case an angel, and they take them to a very dark spot and see what could happen, and then through that the characters discover that they actually have a fabulous or wonderful life, mm-hmm. and they are able to just celebrate Christmas in a whole new light.
I think I hadn't thought about that, but you're right. There is sort of that pattern of letting us see and then really kind of understand the meaning of, you know, what really is right in front of us.
Right, right, exactly.
That's a good way. Now, Nathan, maybe I'll have you talk about, but this isn't the, you know, you're not putting the movie on stage. This is a radio on stage production. And you said you were really excited to be a part of that. What does that mean for folks that are interested in the show?
Right. So for the most part, we've done a little bit of work on the set, but our biggest task has been running the sound cues on stage, since in the show there's a lot of audio cues that need to be demonstrated. Like, for example, in one of the scenes, Mary Hatch's robe rips, and we have just a very simple sound cue of a tearing fabric, just to demonstrate that that is what's happening, so that the show can feel, can be more immersed in what's happening in the story.
I think, yeah, that's, there's so, it's, I was wondering, you play music, and as I was thinking about your role doing the sound, is it like reading a music score, you know, and you've got beats and timing, or is it more improv where you're kind of like watching the people on stage because you want to line up the sounds? How does that work?
There's definitely elements of both, because for certain cues, there's a telephone ringing that we need to line up to the actors picking up a phone on stage.
Right, because otherwise it would look weird.
Exactly. And then for other ones, there is more of a score type of deal to it, because you just need to time it as well as you can, like the fabric ripping, or there's doors opening and closing when characters enter this room. So those are, there's bits of and pieces of both.
I think that would be a fun way to do a production. And let's jump on and get May in here and ask May, why don't you tell us about your role in this production of the Northfield Arts Guild Purple Door Youth Theater of It's a Wonderful Life?
Well, the interesting thing about this production is that even though it might, like, if you come to see it, it might look like I am playing the role of Uncle Billy and the announcer, I'm really not, because remember, we're putting on a production of a 1940s radio station that happens to be live broadcasting It's a Wonderful Life. And so really, in reality, I play the role of a woman who works as a radio actress, and she is an actress that plays the role of Uncle Billy and the announcer. So it's kind of like we're actors playing actors. And so it kind of adds another layer of depth in there. It's very interesting to play. But we kind of get to come up with our own characters a little bit. So that's fun.
So while you're on stage, you're... Wow, that's a lot of layers to think about. I guess I hadn't put that together, that you're this production company that's putting on a play. So it's like a play within a show for the audience that's there. Wow. I kind of love that. That is a very interesting point. And Maggie, let's get you in here and find out what your role is in the production.
So I'm a radio actress playing the role of Mary Hatch, who is eventually becomes George's wife in the story. And it's been really interesting for me because I haven't really played a role like this before. So it's definitely, there's a lot of, I've had to work with Rachel and with the actor playing George Bailey, just about like how we're going to be, like, even in a radio show, like setting up these intimate scenes between the two characters. Mm-hmm. And it's been a really fun side of theater to like do all of these things. And it's been really fun to work with, like, how I'm going to act in a way that I wouldn't usually act.
Right, because you have to do so much with your voice. Tell us what you've been working on, you know, because you're not, you know, looking into somebody's eyes doing an intimate scene or, you know, like a love piece, but you're looking at the microphone as you're doing that. So how is that in, you know, trying to convey that emotion with that way of presenting it?
Yeah, well, there is some of it that we've been told to cheat out a lot and like look more at the other actors instead of at the microphones, because it's really important, especially since we don't know if we're going to be able to perform without masks or not. So a lot of it is in the facial expressions, but in the eyes too. And then there's the part of it that's you change your voice, you can make it more breathy, you can make it like higher or lower, and all of the like different accents you can do, but there's also like the breathiness of it, or just taking more time to breathe, and like in a more intimate scene, like looking at the other character and breathing more heavily, or doing all of these different things to like show that you're in the moment and that you're like taking it all in to really make a scene more touching.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been really interesting to learn how to do.
I can imagine that. So I'm just still wrapping my head around that whole, so that you've got an audience and you've got characters on stage who are playing characters who are doing characters.
some of our students are playing up to 4 different characters.
Whoa!
So that was one of the very first things we talked about, was voice control and how can you make your voice different, and also just the whole physicalness that might go along with that. Even though you're standing at a mic, you may still need to slump over or stick your foot out and be on your chest out or whatever, just to help that entire character come to life, especially when you have 3 or 4.
Right, and you need to make the audience believe that you are that character.
Right.
And so let's bring May in and ask, how did you work on your character and making that clear to the audience who you're playing at any given time?
Well, if you watch in like 1940s video shows or some old time, or even watch documentary, so the announcer sometimes has this like voice that can be like, it's a little over, like really putting in, I don't know how to explain it, but like overreacting a little bit and like all this drama. And so there's a lot of like reading milk cartons and just practicing a lot that goes into it, talking like in everyday life. Uncle Billy is a little bit scatterbrained, you could say. So his voice is a little quicker, maybe a little more breathy. He's a little more like saying quick things, and he's oftentimes in these scenes where he's nervous, so I've had to work on that too.
Yeah, I would think you have a lot of layers, and so did you mentioned reading milk cartons. Is that part of it, like are there commercials within the play?
Oh yes, I am doing some commercials to play as the announcer, and yeah, so the nice thing is that we get to bring our scripts up to the microphones with us. We don't have to memorize our lines, and because in a 1940s radio station, that's what they do, you know. And we're just trying to make it as like real as possible, and so it really actually, that does kind of take a load off your shoulders. Like, you don't have to be, we want to make like eye contact and still be looking at the other actors, so you should have your lines pretty much down. But if you like completely look down real quick at your lines, and that's always nice to have. But yeah, so I have to get the ads all ready and stuff, just bring them up there with me, but I can look at them too, because that's what they do in a 1940s radio station. And we do have one ad in particular that I believe goes at the beginning of Act 2, and it involves a lot of different people. I give the tagline at the end as the announcer, but it has like 3 different scenarios, I think. So that's a fun one.
Yeah, so there are many layers to the show. And folks, if you're just tuning in, this is Art Zaney, Radio for the Imagination. I thank you so much for being here. I'm so grateful for all of you that are faithful listeners. And anyone who is new to the show, welcome as also. I want to tell you, we're talking about It's a Wonderful Life, adapted for radio on stage. It's by Tony Palermo. I wanted to be sure to get that name in there. And it opens at the Northfield Arts Guild Theater on Saturday, December 4th, runs 2 weekends. The Saturday performances are at 7. The Sunday performances are at 2 p.m. And that Northfield Arts Guild Theater is off on 3rd Street in Northfield, but you can check out all the details at northfieldartsguild.org. And they've got, click on the, is it the education button, I think, and then theater. Or there's a link on our site on kymnradio.net where I've put the link to that page. So you can easily get your tickets ahead of time. It might be one that sells out pretty quickly, I think. And folks are going to need to know that a proof of vaccination is required for this event and that masks will be worn in the theater. And you mentioned you're not sure yet if even the performers may need to be wearing masks. So we want to make it a safe environment for everybody. And those decisions will be made.
Right. Just sort of right at the last minute, we'll be able to decide. It's just things are ramping up in the schools a bit. And we have children as young as 3rd grade in our show. So,
but as you can hear, we're all wearing masks now, and you can hear us. And
absolutely.
So there's ways to make those techie things work with microphones and make it happen.
That's right.
So one thing I wanted to ask you, Nathan, I was thinking about was the if the text, when you're making those sound effects, are on stage during the performance, or is that an offstage thing for this production?
All of the technicians are going to be on stage making the sound cues live.
Oh, that's actually really fun.
There are a few that we don't have live sound effects for, so we have somebody up in the booth with sound effects for music and a few cues that we couldn't quite get our hands on, like a foghorn.
That has a particular sound that you need to know, and that's really hard to make.
Yes.
And so tell us about some of the techniques you've learned about sound and, you know, some of the, maybe even there's some surprising tools you've been able to, you know, have in I'm imagining a tray of all kinds of wonderful things that you get to pick up at different times.
So we have, what we have is just a table on stage with all of the different sound cues just laid out on it. And then as the show goes on, people will pick up what they need and make whatever sound effect needs to be made at the time.
Are they everyday tools? Are they specialized for sound? You know, so I'm just imagining, I've seen things like you'll see behind the scenes of a movie making and they're like, we use this spoon to make a, you know, zebra dance. Or you're like, what? How do you do that?
they are all everyday items. Like for one of the most interesting ones is we have a cash register that needs to be rung in a bar that George Bailey goes to, and we're using a toaster.
Oh, that probably does make sense with the sound of pushing down.
You would push it down and bring it back up very quickly, and it makes a loud sort of ka-ching noise. And then we also have a bell that we can ring for the opening of the cash register. Yeah.
So that's going to be fun for the audience to be able to see that happen live. I think that's kind of the fun of it, is being able to watch. That's a part of the performance, right? That you don't get to see. And they used to do this for real in studio live, right? I mean, that's how radio was done a long time ago.
Yes, absolutely. That is what this is based off of. Tony Palermo actually is a very, very well-known sound effects artist, and he is the one who created this script.
And did I read he had a nickname?
Sparks.
Okay.
Yes. And he used to, for those of us in Minnesota, he used to work with the Prairie Home Companion show.
Oh, folks will know that for sure.
Yep. And in fact, this particular script has been done by very famous people like, oh my gosh, all their names just went out of my head. But anyway, he's very, very good at what he does. And so he supplied information about how to create these sounds and such. And then he said, here are sounds that are really difficult to create live. And so he gave us those as a recorded sound, just to make things easier on the students. But we have 19 students in this show, and all 19 are on the stage for the entire production from beginning to end.
Ooh, that's going to be a crowded. But everybody has to, you know, be Right. The timing of everything has to be amazing. And you can't do that if you're coming and going.
Right. Right. And we have a fun 40s look. The studio is the set is has hints of Art Deco, which is amazing. The clothes in the 40s were to die for. Mm-hmm. The padded shoulders and all the men are in suits or vests at least, and the women have been working on making the big victory rolls in their hair.
Oh, I forgot about those, right? Those giant...
Yes.
I don't know how they did that.
Yes.
There's magic in that, too.
And right,
a techie
right.
trick, probably. Do you have a crew, then, that are learning about hair and makeup and clothes?
Well, Kate Stewart, who is our costumer, she did all sorts of research and shared that with both the girls and the guys, because the guys all, you know, a little dabble do ya. They all they all need to slick their hair. And so the kids have been learning about those things as well. I don't know, Nathan, you guys talked a lot about 40s clothing, right?
We did, yes. We talked a lot about clothing in the 40s and how it was made, how it was designed, especially, and like how just people would dress and things around that sort of thing.
I'm thinking too, because I remember my grandparents, like, they got dressed up when they went mm-hmm. anywhere. It was I'll never forget I'll tell my dad's story, because that's where I started the today. But one time my grandparents were visiting, and he needed to go to the drugstore to get something, and he just had his slippers on, and he wore, and my grandmother was just horrified that he would wear his slippers. You know, they were the kind of folks that, you know, wore the hats and ties and coats to go out for breakfast or, you know, out in the community. It was very important to be proper. And so this would be the era, you know, that you're portraying. And so even the sound techies are they're playing like a character doing the sound, so that you also have to be on stage and dressed accordingly.
That's right, yes.
So tell us about your costume.
So the costume, Kate Stewart had a plan where she wanted all of the technician characters to be wearing plaid, just to
match. Oh, to
match.
Distinguish.
Exactly, yes. And then...
That's brilliant.
Yeah. None of us speak, but we still have characters, and that needs to be demonstrated. And mainly that's done by just using body language and facial expressions, because there's not a lot of other options.
I would imagine it's a challenge, you guys are learning a lot about being in that moment and being a character too. And Maggie, let's talk about your character and the she's kind of an iconic character within the story of It's a Wonderful Life, and I felt like the movie sometimes, like, she was the heart of it, and just was. Tell us what you've learned about her by portraying her through this radio on stage play.
Yeah, she's been a really fun character to play. Like I said before, this is like part in theater I haven't gotten to play before, and so it's been really fun to experiment with her. And I've found that she's not only like this soft, caring, like, person who just happens to be George's wife, but she's also a very, like, strong, independent woman who can speak up against George and, like, does what she wants to do and doesn't always, like, listen or do what she's told. And so there's kind of this duality to her that I think is really fun to experiment with.
Mm-hmm. Right. And she, I think she truly believes in her husband. Maybe more than he does, but she's also so busy with the kids in the show. And I love how she brings everybody together. And it's a really memorable character. I was thinking, too, I should ask, when the audience is there, there's a lot that they're going to need to know to look. So any advice for somebody who's coming about how to set your mind about being an audience member of a show that's happening on stage about a show? Like, where should we be looking? What should we be looking for? How are you managing making it clear how the action moves through the story?
Oh, that's a good question. I would definitely say, well, I'm sure Nathan can tell you more about this, but like to look at the techie table, because the stuff I've just been glancing over during rehearsals and the stuff that they're doing is really cool. They have one sound effect where they're using a pair of scissors to symbolize a typewriter, and it works really well. And it's one of my favorite cues that they have. But also, Kate has done an incredible job making sure that everyone's character, if for the people with multiple characters, that they're distinguished from one another. So for an audience member to pay attention to if someone is wearing a hat in one scene and they don't have a hat in another scene, that might symbolize they're playing a different character. Or for my character, because I only have one, she's wearing a robe in the scene where her robe rips. And then she has some knitting in another scene because she's knitting a baby bottom because she's about to have a baby. And it's really interesting. It's definitely something that would be worth noticing, just those little details.
Right. I think that's going to be a fun part and a whole new way to see a show for folks on the stage. Let's ask May. Let's jump in and have you tell us a little bit about your costume and maybe what you've learned about the 40s. And you're playing, well, the announcer and Billy. And tell us about how you'll be costumed and, again, what you've learned about the 40s.
Well, the 40s, they dress very differently than we do today. That's for sure. And that was a time when women were starting to experiment a little with, like, wearing things that, like, before was, like, only reserved for men, like trousers and things like that. So, some of the people in our that are playing women will be like probably wearing skirts. Some will be wearing trousers. Actually, I think Kate and Rachel aren't sure which one I'm going to be wearing.
I was wondering that.
And I'll take this on that yet. But so it's really fun. Aside from the hair, of course, it's very very hard to do, and I'm not really looking forward to either putting it in or taking it out. But, the costumes always have really helped me, like, really get in character. And I feel like it's a very important part of the entire, like, production, because without costumes, it wouldn't be the same at all. So costumes are very important to me.
Yeah, I think that's a wonderful thing. This show is taking place on a radio stage, which I'm really excited about, that idea of imagining what radio was like. I know when I was a little kid, I can't believe I'm going to say this, but I'm going to say it. I used to imagine, we'd drive to my grandma's house a lot and listen to the radio in the car on the way, that every time there was new music, that they switched out, like it was all live. And so, this was when I was a tiny little kid, you know, 3 or 4 years old, thinking, wow, how do they move all those musicians and start up on time? Because I thought everything was live, so you know, you don't know. But doing a live show means you have to have that timing, and I mean, it's gonna broadcast. I know that from this show. No matter what happens, you got to roll with what is presented and make it feel like it's part of the show. So, how have you been? Have you had a chance to go through the show? And maybe I'll start with Maggie of you know, run throughs, so that you are anticipating all of those things and getting some of those pieces worked out.
Yeah, we've definitely, I think our rehearsals are kind of short, so we've only had, I think, one complete run through of the show.
Yeah, it doesn't open until next week, so
yeah.
that's probably normal in the time frame.
Yeah, but it's been really interesting to work with, like, even just line pickup and the transitions in between scenes, because it all has to be so fast. And Rachel said this to us during one of the rehearsals, but just that any dead air on the radio and people change the channel. And so we have to try to, like, figure that out and see how to make sure that, like, we don't have any space in between, like, lines in between scenes, all of that, to make sure that people stay interested and engaged in the show the whole time.
Right. I think that's a really important, it's like this orchestration of how things are going to go. And I guess I'm trying to think of, I've got so many questions, but just a little bit of time. Let's talk about the idea, how this show stays relevant. I guess that's one thing I've been curious about, because it is very unusual. I mean, can you name other movies from the 1940s that, or other stories? There aren't a lot of them that make it through that test of time. So, Nathan, you were someone who hadn't seen it, and so now you've had time to spend with the story. And what do you think it is that makes the story, you know, be interesting and tradition for a lot of people as through the years?
Oh gosh, that's a great question. I think part of it is that it's a good feel good story at the end. Like, it goes through its ups and downs with the characters, but at the end it's a feel good ending. It's a nice story, and then it also can have some connections to modern day with the events of, like, just, gosh, I'm not sure how to explain it.
There is a lot in it. And let me ask Rachel, why was it that you wanted to do this production, and how did you think that, you know, it was important to do it at this, you know, this year?
Right. Several factors, actually. Practically, part of it was the fact that we could be at microphones, and we are in a pandemic, and I thought if nothing else worked, we could do it actually on the air and not even on the stage, do it through Zoom or something, you know, who knows, because we have to plan these things out so far in advance.
A, B, C, D, E, and E.
Yes. However, it looks like we're, you know, good to go on the stage, which is fantastic. But I do think, reflecting back to your prior question about what to look for, I think it would be wonderful to me to see people in the audience actually close their eyes.
I didn't
and
wonder.
Stop looking and just listen, because that is really what the experience would have been in 1946. Because the play is set in 1946, the movie was set in 1946, our radio show takes place in 1946, when radio was the thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, it still was. People were really, really still listening. It was accessible to everyone. And, you know, we were just coming out of the war. Life was changing quickly and confusingly. And so all of that. But anyway, I'm just going to read this short paragraph, because I think it is, it just so well encompasses what this show means and why it is still relevant. It says, "It's a Wonderful Life explores much deeper themes connected to what holidays are traditionally supposed to concern. The values of basic goodness and sacrifice, the gift of friendship, the pitfalls of greed and commercialism, the sense of community and belonging that helps us feel truly connected in a society." So how much better can you get than that?
Yeah, and we need a lot of that right now.
We sure do.
Yeah, and so I hope you've warned the players, if people are closing their eyes, they're not sleeping.
Right.
So they don't worry that they've lost us.
Exactly.
Well, this sounds like an amazing show. I'm going to go ahead and jump in and have everybody tell us, is there something you're really excited about that you want the audience to see, and give us a reason to buy a ticket? We'll start with May. If you want to talk to us about anything we've missed that you want to share with the audience, or anything that you're incredibly excited about the show.
Well, this is my first radio play, and I'm just really excited to see how it turns out. The timing, we're really working on it, and it's getting a lot better. And something that's really fun for me is that we have all of the different, like, if you're playing multiple characters, or, like, if you have a certain thing in a certain scene, we have some like props and little accessories that we can wear, and I'm really excited for that, and I hope that that like shows to the audience that it's different, we're playing different characters, because it would be kind of weird if like they thought that an announcer was like speaking with George Bailey about business. So like that that might confuse people. So yeah, I'm just really excited for that. And the commercials too. I'm very excited to give the commercials, because actually there's one commercial, from Chic Orthodontics, and, we're going to have actually a friend of mine is going to come up on the stage. She had Chic Orthodontics, like braces and stuff. And now her teeth are like great because of that. And she is going to come up and like flash her teeth and smile while I talk about how beautiful her teeth are because she visited Chic Orthodontics. So I'm very excited to do that one.
That does sound like fun. Thank you. So that's a great, great promo. How about for you, Nathan? What are you excited to share with audiences here at the Northfield Arts Guild Theater?
I think from the technician side of things, I think that seeing all the sound cues lined up with the dialogue and the rest of the script will be a very interesting experience, just because people will be able to really fall into the story and try and experience what it would be like in a radio production.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that will be something that will be new. Maybe for some, it'll bring back some memories if you got a grandma and grandpa who are visiting and want to come and see it. For others, it'll be a, like, wow, radio was like that. That's those both things. Maggie, what are you most looking forward to?
Oh, well, definitely I'm looking forward to, as we start into Tech Week, just combining everything together and getting the lights and, well, we already have the sound effects, but like putting on costumes and makeup and doing hair and stuff and just seeing this wonderful show finally like come together and all of these parts just like building up until opening night. And I'm really excited to just be right in the center of all of that.
I love being with, thank you for that, Maggie, with everybody who's just about ready to do a play, because you can tell that there's that buildup of, are we going to do it? Of course we're going to do it. It's going to be awesome. But there's still that like, we haven't worked out this part and that part, but it always pulls off. It always happens. So Rachel, I want to mention that the tickets are on sale now. Performances start Saturday, December 4th, and run for 2 weekends, Saturdays at 7, Sundays at 2 p.m. So there's 4 shows. I expect there'll be a lot of interest in this, so folks need to get those tickets early. Anything I've missed or anything you want to add?
Well, since May brought up Chic Orthodontics, I'd love to mention our other sponsors, which are Vistendahl, Morsch, Dorsey, and Hahn, and also Holden Farms, Holden Family Farms. It's really so important that our community embraces theater for young people, and I am truly appreciative of their sponsorships. And also Roger Fetty is giving us a really wonderful deal on vintage microphones.
Oh, that, of course, because they are not like you and I see are sitting in front of, or the audience usually see. They're pretty. I think they're kind of.
They're beautiful.
Yeah, exactly.
Actually.
They're like pieces of art.
Yes, they are. So, so anyway, Fetty Electronics is also helping us out. So, well, many thanks.
That's important. It takes a whole team to put together this. Like you mentioned in the beginning, that's what learning about theater is for everyone in the Purple Door Youth Theater.
Yes.
Folks, this has been an amazing show, and I'm very excited. I thank you so much. I want to especially thank my guests. We have Rachel Hyder, who's the director and the founder of Purple Door Youth Theater. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Nathan Wolf, Maggie Muth, and May Bowers. Just a terrific job. I mean, you're all amazing, and I think it's just incredible to be a part of a community that has great theater for all ages, and audiences get to benefit from all of that. So, folks, this is Art Zany, Radio for the Imagination. Thank you for being a part of the show, and I truly mean that. I really do enjoy when you let me know that you listen and tell the people who are in these productions that you heard it on Art Zany Radio. I hope that you add some Art Zany to your life. And of course, in the meantime, until next time, enjoy your imagination.
You've been listening to Art Zany, Radio for the Imagination with your host, Paula Granquist. Art Zany is brought to you each week by the Northfield Arts Guild and by the Paradise Center for the Arts in Faribault. The Paradise Center for the Arts is a vibrant cultural and artistic gathering spot in historic downtown Faribault. The Paradise is committed to offering high-quality visual and performing art opportunities for Faribault and our region. Regular events spotlight some of the best artists and musicians in our area and throughout Minnesota and the Midwest. Our beautifully restored facility includes art galleries, classrooms, clay and textile labs, a gift shop, and rehearsal spaces, in addition to a 300-seat auditorium. Visit ParadiseCenterForTheArts.org for a full schedule of events or call our box office at 507-334-7372.